Thought we were heading toward Chambers. Woody turns and glances at the sign reading City Hall. But, it looks like we veered east at some point. We've been walking in the wrong direction for half an hour? Sam yells. His mouth is a hard, thin line. Heat climbs his neck, and red splotches color his cheeks. He rakes his hand through his hair and kicks the floor of the tunnel. Something skitters through the dark and splashes into the puddle. Damn it! Sam shouts. Woody clears his throat. Look, he says. I don't care what you think! Sam rounds on Woody and shoves him. Woody stumbles into the water and falls against the wall. Watch it! He shouts. Sam stares daggers at him. For a second, I'm sure he's going to hit him again. But then he shakes his head. Some of the anger fades from his face, and he offers Woody his hand. Sorry, he mutters, pulling Woody back to his feet. Woody shrugs and straightens his shirt. If you two are done, will one of you explain how we're going to get out of here now? Shayna asks. Sam sighs and looks over Shayna's shoulder, down the tunnel we just walked through. I guess we double back? See if we can find the way to Chambers? Double back? Woody shakes his head. Look, there's definitely an exit down towards City Hall. A bunch of other trains crisscross the tunnels up there. It's probably just 10 more minutes on. It's flooded. Shayna stomps around in the water with her heavy boots, splashing the walls. I resist the urge to roll my eyes. There's maybe an inch of water sloshing around on the ground, and our feet are already wet. I'm up for going to City Hall, I say. The water's not deep. Not yet. Shayna cocks an eyebrow, looking at me like I'm crazy. And the tunnel slopes down. We're trying to go up, remember? So you want to turn around? The idea of going back the way we came makes me feel suddenly very tired. Come on, he said it was just 10 more minutes. He also said we were headed toward Chambers, Shayna shouts. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Hey, I don't see you helping, Woody says. Guys, stop. Sam moves between us, turning to me, he says. Look. We have to turn back. Anger flares inside me. Of course you'd side with Shayna. I'm not siding with Shayna. I'm trying to be logical about this. Sam slams his fist against the tunnel wall. Woody doesn't really know where we're going. Jesus! That sign clearly says City Hall. Woody waves his hands at the faded black letters. You do see it. Don't you? I'm not hallucinating. Well, what if we go down that tunnel and can't get back out? Sam asks. Or what if it's so badly flooded that we wind up trapped? What if we head back the way we came and get lost? I shout back. Something shuffles behind us, and I flinch before realizing it's just Aya. She steps away from the wall and puts her hand on my arm. Shayna looks from me to her. I guess she's the tiebreaker, she mutters, crossing her arms over her chest. Well, Aya, what do you want to do? Aya sniffs and rocks back and forth on her dirty heels. I'm with Casey, she says, her voice raw from crying. Let's go to City Hall. 17. Well, this is fun, Shayna says. Great plan, guys. She sloshes through the water, sending choppy waves crashing against the tunnel walls. We've only been walking for 15 minutes, and the freezing water is up to our knees. My toes are numb. Aya sniffles. Ew!
Ew,
she whispers under her breath. We made her take off her ridiculous heels back when the water started getting higher, and now she walks barefoot through the flooded tunnels. Algae climbs the walls and blankets the ceiling, and dusty pipes twist along beside us. Aya slips on something and stumbles forward, grabbing my arm. I pause to let her steady herself. You okay? I ask. She sniffles.
We're gonna die, Casey. We're gonna die.
She starts sobbing again. I turn my back instead of trying to help, and wade forward. Guilt clenches my stomach, but I try to ignore it. I know she's high and terrified, but I've tried talking to her, and I've tried calming her down. Nothing works. The only thing we can do is get out of here as soon as possible. Seriously, Shayna says. She swings her leg, kicking up a wave of greasy water. It was too easy when we were just trapped underground with the serial killer. Now we get to be trapped underground in a flooded tunnel with the serial killer. Aya whimpers, but Shayna doesn't seem to notice. I've always wondered whether crocodiles lived in the subways, she says. I guess now I'll find out. Thank you, Woody. Shayna slow claps, walking through the water backward. Don't be a bitch, Shayna, Woody mutters. Shayna forms an O with her mouth and puts her hand to her chest in a mock, who, me, gesture. A headache pounds at my temples. Aya inhales, and I hear that telltale hitch in her breathing that usually comes before she starts sobbing again. I know Shayna's just letting off steam, and that she's probably as freaked as the rest of us. But she doesn't seem to care that she's making everyone miserable. Let's talk about great plans, Shayna, I say. Like how it was such a great plan to bring us to this party, and losing track of Julie. That was a fantastic plan. Shayna releases a short laugh. No one put a gun to your head, soccer Barbie. You could have gone home any time you wanted. You're joking, right? Or did you forget the giant, scary bouncer guarding the door? Oh, yeah, and that thing where you drugged me? Like you weren't asking for it. Shayna, shut up, Sam says, cutting her off. Shayna stops walking, and hurt flashes across her face. She looks at Sam, then back at me. I can't help the little half-smile that curves my lips. We continue wading through the tunnel in silence. My cell phone light dances over grimy gray walls. I glance at the display. 10%, I shout. Sam's phone died a few minutes ago. Woody and I are the only ones who still have power left. We're trying to preserve it. You should turn it off until the candle goes out. Sam calls back to me. The candle burns low in his hand. There's not much wick left, and the flame is barely more than a dim, glowing ember. I switch my phone off and slip it into my back pocket. Shayna swears under her breath. Now it's cold, wet, and dark, she mutters. I glare at her back, twisting Julie's ring on my finger. I picture Julie sitting in the back seat of Shayna's Buick, pinching her fingers together like she was meditating. With her dark eyes and those thick curls falling down her back, she looked like a goddess. Before she got into pot, Julie was brilliant. Harvard brilliant. NASA brilliant. She had the best PSAT scores in our entire school. I twist the ring around my finger. The metal cuts into my skin, leaving it raw. I barely notice. I'm thinking about the time Julie and I tried to study SAT vocab in the cafeteria during lunch. My parents had just bought me a bunch of expensive prep materials, new books and flashcards and practice tests. I showed them to Julie, but she sighed, shaking her head. These things have no soul, she told me. You need to be the SAT vocabulary words to understand them. We were still laughing when Shayna bounced up to our table. Come with me, she said, smiling her little kid smile. I have a surprise. We followed her to the edge of the parking lot, where Sid Bronson parked his van. Sid wasn't a student, but he hung around the school, selling fake IDs and drugs. Rumor was he didn't accept money. You had to pay him in favors. My stomach twisted in knots as we stepped up to his van. Shayna stood on her tiptoes and rapped on the rusty metal door. He unrolled the window a crack, and Shayna slipped him a folded piece of notebook paper. To this day, I have no idea what it said. A second later, Sid opened the door and handed her a tiny white envelope. It's X, she whispered as we walked away. Just enough for the three of us. Shame and fear gnaw at my insides when I think of that memory. Julie and I didn't even think. We just followed Shayna blindly. A tear oozes out of the corner of my eye. I wipe it away with the back of my hand. My head pounds, throbbing with regret. I imagine Julie walking next to me. I wish I could grab her hand or hear her wry, sarcastic voice again. I close my eyes, whispering a silent prayer. If I get out of this place, I'll take the SATs and apply to college. I'll go to sleepovers at Madison's house. I'll be a different person. I pulled the Tylenol bottle out of my pocket. There are still a few pills rattling around inside. I'll never touch anything stronger than Tylenol again, I think to myself, popping off the lid. I look inside the bottle and freeze. Two tiny, round, oxycodone pills sit nestled among the remaining Tylenol. They stare up at me, beckoning. All the air leaves my lungs. Those pills can't be here. I blink, but they're still there when I open my eyes, waiting. I slam the lid back on the bottle and shove it into my pocket. My parents said they swept my room and threw out all my old stashes. They could have missed a bottle. Shayna had your pills, a little voice in the back of my head says. I run a hand over the buzzed side of my head, thinking of how she had swiped the Tylenol bottle off the bar and handed it back to me later. It would have been just like her to give me a few pills, like a dare. Aya's breath hitches again. The sound is sharp, like a paper bag crumpling. I glance back at her, grateful for the distraction. How you doing, Aya? I ask. Her skin looks pale beneath her streaked makeup. She hiccups.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
She can't focus on my face. Instead, she stares at something over my shoulder. Nerves prickle along my neck. Something flickers at the corner of my eye. I whip around, but there's nothing there. Aya, I need you to calm down, I say. The oxy pills burn inside my pocket, but I ignore them. Aya's red-rimmed eyes slide over to mine and widen. She screams. Aya, I say. She doesn't hear me. Her scream echoes through the tunnels. She sinks to her knees, and her blue skirt floats to the surface of the water. The others stop walking and crowd around me.
Is she okay? Woody asks.
Aya wraps her arms around her chest. She stops screaming for long enough to suck down a lungful of air. Then her scream cuts through the tunnels again, shrill and piercing. I don't know. I frown and touch her shoulder. Aya jerks away. Her eyes bulge and her face turns red. She was fine before. Well, not fine, but she wasn't freaking out.
I'm starting to lose my cool, Shayna says. I can hear the fear in her voice, and that scares me more than Aya does. I think of the oxy again, then curse myself. I'm not going to take it. I refuse to take it.
Aya's scream cuts off abruptly. She stares at that same spot over my shoulder and rocks back and forth on her knees, hugging herself. Water laps around her waist. I have that feeling again, that feeling that someone's watching me. Steeling myself, I turn around. The tunnel wall stands directly behind me. There's enough light to see the curve of it, but the details are in shadow.
No,
Aya moans.
No, 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 no.
Fear drops through me like a rock. Do you see something? I pull my phone out of my pocket, illuminating her face with the blue tinted phone display. The light washes out her skin, making her look like a ghost.
Oh, God, she whispers. Oh, God.
She's panicking, Sam says. He reaches for my hand, and this time I don't pull away.
I don't think she can hear you.
There's something there. I nod at the opposite wall. Sam wades through the water to stand beside me.
I'm scared, I admit. He squeezes my fingers.
On three, he says. One, two. He lifts his candle, and I raise my phone, illuminating the tunnel wall in front of us. At first, I don't see anything but gray bricks and green slicks of algae. Relief washes over me. I close my eyes and squeeze Sam's hand.
Shit,
Woody mutters, and my eyes shoot open again. I search the wall until I see what he's talking about. A door. My lips part in a nervous smile. The tunnel walls jut up against hard gray steel. I hadn't noticed before because it's the exact color of the grimy bricks surrounding it, and the edge of the wall is flush with the door. But it's there. I grab Sam's arm. I suddenly feel like my legs might collapse beneath me. We're saved.
Thank God, Shayna says. Below us, still crouched in the murky water, Aya moans.
Sweetie, it's just a door, I say, reaching for her arm. She jerks away, cupping her hands over her ears. She mutters something under her breath that I can't quite hear.
Do you see it?
She'll feel better when we get her out of here, Sam says. He gives my hand one last squeeze, then drops it. Promise. There's a rickety metal scaffold beneath the door. Dozens of rusted pipes twist along the wall beside it. Sam grabs one of the pipes and hoists himself out of the water. He eases himself onto the scaffold.
Feels sturdy enough, he says, crawling to his feet.
The metal creaks beneath him, but holds.
It must be an old construction door, Woody explains, wading across the tunnel.
I hurry over with him, ignoring the water splashing against my legs. It's past my knees now, and it makes my cold, wet jeans cling to my thighs. I shiver and cross my arms over my chest, thinking of my deep bathtub at home. As soon as I get back, I'm filling it with steaming hot water and bubbles.
If I get home, I remind myself. I say a silent prayer.
Please let this work.
Sam sets the candle down on the scaffold, and Woody scrambles up next to him. He twists the doorknob and pulls.
Jammed, he mutters.
He groans and pulls harder.
Shit.
The hope inside my chest flickers.
Jammed?
I repeat.
Don't worry, We'll force it if we have to.
Woody anchors himself against the wall and tugs, but the door doesn't budge.
I'll help, Sam says.
We all can, right? Shayna adds. She pushes through the water and climbs up onto the scaffold.
Maybe it opens in? You want to try kicking it? Woody asks.
Sam shrugs and throws his shoulder against the door. The steel frame creaks.
I think it moved, Woody says.
They all start kicking and pushing against the door. I glance behind me at Aya. She's still huddled at the other side of the tunnel, muttering under her breath and rocking.
We're gonna die. We're gonna die, she whispers, staring at the door.
I'm going to help them, I tell her, but she doesn't look at me. A desperate sob escapes her lips. She wraps her arms tighter around her chest.
We're gonna die.
I turn around, scrambling onto the scaffold with the others. It's the size of a small patio, maybe 4 feet square. I squeeze next to Woody. Shayna and Sam crowd on the other side.
On three, Woody says.
He holds up one finger, then two, and on three, we all throw our bodies against the door. I slam my shoulder into the steel door, and pain shoots up my arm. My shoe slips over the damp metal, and my ankle twists beneath me. I tip backward to regain my balance, but I lean too far and tumble into the water.
Casey, Sam shouts.
Oily black water crashes over my face and seeps into my ears and mouth. I sink to the bottom of the tunnel and smack my head on the train tracks. Pain flickers at the base of my skull. I open my mouth, gasping for breath, and water floods my lungs. It tastes like vomit. Stomach churning, I push myself to my knees and fumble for the ledge. I break through the surface and gasp for breath, heart pounding. I'm more disgusted than scared. The water coats my skin. I dry my eyes with my hands and pull myself to my feet, just as Woody launches himself at the steel door. It swings open, and he stumbles through.
Yes, Shayna cheers.
Woody regains his balance, and Shayna throws her arms around his neck.
Thank God, she screams.
Sam turns to me and says something, but I'm not paying attention to him. I'm staring through the door. Two tiny dots of light blink in the darkness, like Christmas lights.
Guys, I say.
Two more lights appear, and then eight. Dozens. Hundreds. Horror rises in my throat.
Their eyes.
I stumble backward and my foot slips on the subway floor. Just before I crash into the water again, I see hundreds of rats pour from the doorway.
18.
Rats spill from the doorway, their beady eyes glowing in the light of Woody's phone. Coarse gray fur covers their dirty bodies. Their noses twitch in the air, catching our scent. I try to stand, but fear makes my legs jerky and stiff. There are too many of them. They crawl over each other in a swarm of writhing bodies and pink tails. The sound of gnashing teeth and high-pitched squeaking echoes around us. I expect them to be afraid, to run in the opposite direction. Then a large rat breaks away from the pack and darts at me. I realize something right before it digs its sharp yellowed teeth into my skin. They're hungry. Stinging pain shoots through my arm. I scream and yank it away, slipping on the algae lining the tunnel floor. My feet slide out from beneath me. A sea of rats rushes to the edge of the scaffold, saliva dripping from their teeth. They're the last thing I see before I crash below the water again. Distantly, I hear my friends screaming. Then water rushes into my ears, blocking them out. Rats pour over the sides of the scaffold, dropping into the water, and their furry bodies sink toward me. Horror rolls through my gut. I open my mouth to scream, but water floods my lungs, and I start to choke instead. Darkness flickers at the corners of my eyes. I grope around in the water for something to grab onto, and my fingers graze matted wet fur. Teeth dig into the flesh between my thumb and forefinger. Pain shoots up my hand. I grit my teeth to keep from screaming and shake the rat from my hand. Clumsily, I break the surface of the water. Scaly pink tails whip against my cheeks. They feel like razor blades lashing at my skin. I cover my face with my hands, and the rats crawl over my arms and shoulders and get tangled in my hair. Their claws prick my skin. They squeak and scream into my ear. A rat slips through my fingers. Its teeth dig into my cheek. A splash echoes behind me. Tremors rumble through the floor. The rats fall silent. I feel their bodies trembling as they leap off me and plop into the water. I throw myself away from them and scramble to my feet, shaking so badly my knees knock together. I swat at my arms and shoulders. I still feel their feet on my skin, their tails in my hair. Another splash. Ripples spread over the water. Cold fear oozes through my bones. I whip around, peering into the darkness. The surface of the water goes still. "Who's there?" I whisper. Shadows gather at the far end of the tunnel. I wobble forward, heart hammering inside my chest. I squint. Blue tulle bobs along next to the wall. I can just make out the ruffled edges in the darkness. I exhale, and relief pours over me like cool water. It's Aya. I take a step toward her. "Sweetie?" I choke out when I can finally breathe again. "Are you?" A hand clamps down on my shoulder. I jerk and spin around. Sam kneels on the scaffold, reaching down for me. "Come on," he says, offering me his arm. I glance back at Aya, but she makes no move to peel herself away from the wall. And I don't want to wade through the water and coax her out of the shadows. I grab hold of Sam's hand and let him haul me out of the water. "What happened?" I ask. Woody lies on his back near the door. His phone sits in his lap. The dim light illuminates needle-thin scratches on his face and blood dripping from his chin. Shayna crouches behind the steel door, using it as a shield. A long, deep gash runs down her arm. "Something scared the rats," she says, her voice trembling. "What could have scared the rats?"
"I don't know," Sam says.
"There was something in the water." My voice doesn't sound like my own. It's thin and distant. "I heard a splash." I check my back pocket for my phone. My phone's gone, but the pill bottle is still there. I picture the round oxy tablets. I should toss it into the water, too. But I don't. "Shit," I mutter. I peer into the pool, but the water is black as oil. My phone's lost, and Sam's candle lies on its side next to his foot, the flame extinguished. Woody takes the phone out of his lap.
"And then there was one," he says.
I point to the other side of the tunnel, and Woody aims his light at the wall. Water laps against the bricks. I can't make out Aya in the darkness, but the edge of her skirt jerks out of the circle of light and disappears into the shadows.
"Aya," Woody calls. "Come over here with us."
She doesn't answer. Shayna glances over at me.
"Someone should go get her,"
she says. Below us, a single rat squeaks, then dips below the surface. I cringe and huddle back against the wall.
Be my guest, I mutter.
Shayna creeps out from behind the door, crouching at the side of the scaffold. She looks feral, with her pink hair tangled around her face and bite marks cutting across her cheeks. I stare at her for a beat too long. She's always been wild.
She'll be okay for a few minutes, Sam says.
He drops his hand to my head and pulls his fingers through my damp, tangled hair. I tilt my head back, studying his face in the dim light. He looks like he got the worst of the rat attack. Bite marks cover his face and arms, and a hole gapes at the collar of his shirt. Pity twists inside my chest, even after what he did. I still want to smooth the hair back from his face. I want to get out of here and be with Sam and forget this nightmare. Then I picture him pulling his fingers through Shayna's hair, and the feeling fades. I lean away. A hurt look passes over his face.
Are you okay? He asks.
Fine, I say, standing. Just a few scratches.
Good.
Sam clears his throat.
Let's get the hell out of here, he says.
Amen,
Woody says, pushing himself to his feet. I scramble to my feet and follow Sam over to the steel door, which still hangs open.
Thank God, Shayna says.
Woody's the first one through the open door, and the rest of us crowd around him. He steps inside, then freezes.
Shit, he says.
My breath catches in my throat.
What?
I ask, and Woody shoves the door all the way open, letting the rest of us see what he sees. The doorway's been sealed shut. A shallow space opens up just past the steel door, the floor covered in rat droppings and crumpled up newspaper. Past that, a brick wall blocks us in. A small corner of the wall has crumbled away, revealing a tiny hole just large enough for a rat to squeeze through. Now, only weak light drifts through the hole. The light mocks us. I have no way of knowing whether it's sunlight or some old bulb still burning on the other side of the door. I push past Woody and run my hands over the greasy, dirt-encrusted bricks. I tell myself I'm checking to see if the bricks are rotted, if there's any chance we can tunnel our way through. Tears form at the corners of my eyes, and it's all I can do to blink them back. I curl my hands into fists and pound them against the wall.
Let us out! I scream.
I pound until my knuckles are bruised and sore.
Let us out!
No! The voice is Shayna's. I expect her to pull me away from the wall, to tell me to calm down, but she does neither of those things. She squeezes in next to me and kicks the bricks with her heavy boots.
You've got to be kidding me, she shouts.
She kicks again and again, and then she starts pounding with her fists like me.
Shit,
she screams.
Shit!
I collapse against the wall, tears streaming down my face. I think of the drugs in my pocket, and I have to curl my hands into fists to keep from reaching for them. Shayna slides to the ground and buries her head in her hands. Another splash echoes through the tunnel. The hair on my arms stands straight up.
Aya?
I call.
That wasn't Aya,
Woody says in a hushed voice. I turn around, slowly, afraid of what I might see. Woody creeps to the side of the scaffold and shines his cell phone into the darkness. Shayna lifts her head and catches my eye. Her skin has gone perfectly white. I feel like my stomach has lodged itself in my throat. We all wait, staring into the black. The silence around us is absolute. "Guys," I whisper, "where'd Aya go?" The others turn in place, searching the water. She was just here. Woody shines his phone out over the water, but the surface stays still. "Do you think she ran back down the tunnel?" Shayna asks. "Maybe she tried to double back to where it wasn't so flooded."
"Maybe," Sam says.
I lower myself back into the water, cringing as the greasy cold slips over my legs. "She was right over there 2 minutes ago," I say, pointing to the opposite wall.
"Here,"
Woody says, handing his cell phone to me.
"I'll check farther down the tunnel, but I'm fine looking in the dark."
"Thanks," I say, taking the phone from his hands. Shayna and Woody climb down from the scaffold and follow the tunnel in opposite directions. Shayna hesitates for a second, her eyes on me.
"Careful," she says.
It sounds oddly like a threat. Sam climbs into the water behind me as Shayna drifts away.
"Aya!"
I shout. Sam splashes over to the other wall.
"Aya!"
he calls, his voice growing faint. I glance over my shoulder, watching him disappear into the darkness. Goosebumps climb my arms. I'm alone. I try to call out, but my voice catches in my throat, and I barely make a sound. I swallow.
"Aya!"
I say again, louder this time. The shadows feel heavy around me, like they're hiding something. I jerk my light over the water, but I can't illuminate the whole tunnel at once. Darkness oozes closer. I pull my turtle pendant out from under my shirt and rub the shell between two fingers.
"Aya?"
I whisper. I know she's here. She didn't run down the tunnel like Shayna thinks she did. I can feel her. I wade forward, the cool water lapping against my legs. There's a flicker of movement at the corner of my eye. A ripple appears in the water. I spin around. The ripple cuts across the tunnel, only a few inches from my leg. I picture someone hiding beneath the surface of the pool and cover my mouth with my hand, trying to hold back the scream rising in my throat. I shrink back. A water snake lifts its head from the water. It's no thicker than my pinky and less than a foot long.
"Nerodia cypodon," I whisper under my breath.
I remember the name from the bio class I took at the community center last summer, when I still thought I was going to go to college and study marine biology. It's harmless. I exhale and collapse against the tunnel wall, wishing I was in that classroom right now, or at Madison's, or hell, even in rehab. The snake swims past, its tongue darting from its mouth. I cringe and turn back to face the far wall, where I last saw Aya. I sweep the beam of Woody's phone across the tunnel. Flat black water stretches before me. My friends' voices boom off the tunnel walls. I shuffle forward, listening. There's another sound below their shouting. It's a very faint, low rustle, like someone crumpling a paper bag. Or someone breathing. I move slowly through the water toward a thick patch of shadows. I imagine Aya huddled in a corner, whispering silently as she rocks back and forth. I raise the cell phone.
"Nothing this way,"
Woody calls. I flinch and spin around, and my light hits him instead. He cringes and shields his eyes.
"Sorry."
I move the light, and it sweeps past something floating in the water. Frowning, I wade forward and aim my light. A gray, crescent-shaped object bobs in the water below me. It's roughly the size of my hand. The inner edge serrated like a knife. One end is jagged, like it's been broken. I frown. It reminds me of the thing I saw on Lawrence's back. But that was a hallucination. I remember the way it dug deeper into Lawrence's skin before disappearing. Impossible. I kneel to examine the object more closely. Cold fear seeps through my skin. This thing isn't a blade. It's a claw. A really big claw. I swallow, trying to imagine how large an animal would have to have a claw like that. Nausea fills my stomach. Guys, I say, my voice trembling. I found something. Water laps against the claw, sending it spiraling away from me. I straighten and aim the dim light of my phone after it. The low, raspy sound of breathing reaches me again. Raising the hair on the back of my neck, I turn and stare into the darkness. The sound cuts off abruptly, like someone holding their breath. I clench and unclench my hand, ignoring the sweat gathering on my palm. The darkness seems to pulse, but I'm too terrified to lift the phone. I keep the light trained on the green, sludgy water below. Aya? I whisper. No answer. Water ripples around my legs. There's someone there. I can just make out the shape of a body in the shadows. Horror roots me to the spot. I rub my thumb over the side of Woody's phone, steeling myself. The darkness moves, and my breath catches in my throat. I have to see who it is. I have to know. I lift the phone. Aya floats into the beam of light. Her legs have sunken below the water, so only her torso and head are visible. Blood streams from her nose and the corners of her eyes. Her cheeks have swollen to twice their normal size. She opens her mouth, and a wet gurgle bubbles from her lips. Aya! I slosh through the water and crouch beside her. Her bloodied, unfocused eyes dart around the tunnel. They fix on me, and the sweat on the back of my neck goes cold. Her normally black pupils burn an icy blue. Terror pulses inside my chest. Something stares out at me from behind Aya's eyes. But it isn't Aya. The only word I can think of is evil. I stagger backward, but I'm not fast enough. Aya rakes her long, manicured fingernails across my cheek, drawing blood. Bright, hot pain rips through my face. I scream, and Aya follows my voice. A blue tint creeps over her skin. No! I grab Aya's shoulders and shake. She doesn't move. Whatever thing crept inside her has gone, and now her eyes are vacant. I pull her from the water, surprised by how easy it is to move her. She feels light. Too light. Horrified, I look down at her torso. Her legs haven't sunk below the water. I was wrong. I jerk away from her and stumble backward, feeling like I might be sick. Her body ends just below her ribs, and her stomach and legs and everything else is gone. Broken bits of bone jut out from the bloody stump of her torso. Intestines float on the surface of the water, surrounded by a darkening pool of blood. 19. My scream echoes around me, magnified by the stone walls and still water. My friends call out, but I can't make out what they're saying. Static fills my head, blocking my brain with a steady stream of white noise. This can't be happening. It's another hallucination. But Aya stares up at me, her eyes clouded and bloodshot and real. Her blue-tinted skin is close enough to touch. The phone in my hand flickers off, leaving me in the dark with Aya's ruined body. Fear races over my skin.
Casey!
Woody shouts. My friends splash toward me. I think dimly that I should move, run maybe, or at least turn Woody's phone on so I can see if Aya's body has floated away. But I can't move. A tangle of emotions hits me all at once. I want to grab Aya by the shoulders and shake her until she wakes up. But then I think of the wild, hateful thing I saw behind her eyes, and I feel a stinging cut she left on my cheek. It makes me want to put as much distance between myself and her body as possible. I stumble backward, grabbing for the wall to keep myself from slipping. I feel claustrophobic, like the tunnels are shrinking around me. There's nowhere to run. We're trapped down here, trapped with this thing that's killing us off one by one. I see the ragged stump of Aya's body burned on the insides of my eyelids. Bright red blood. Skin shredded like paper. Intestines floating on the murky water. She had been ripped in half. Something tore her body in half. No person could have done that. I squeeze my eyes shut, but she's waiting behind my closed lids. I see those icy blue pupils and flinch, remembering how she scratched me. Aya wouldn't have done that. It was like something else was controlling her, like she was possessed. Sam grabs my shoulders and spins me around. He finds my hand and tugs the phone from my fingers. A bright light shines in my face. I cringe backward, blinking.
Casey.
Sam shakes me. I hear the terror in his voice.
Casey, what is it? What did you see?
I try to speak, but I can't think of what to say. I think of the neon blue eyeliner winging away from Aya's brown eyes, and a sob bubbles up from my throat. Something ripped her body apart, and we can't outrun it or hide from it. Aya's final words echo through my head. We're gonna die. We're gonna die, I whisper out loud. I watch Sam's eyes widen, mirroring the horror I feel. We're gonna die, I scream. My whole body trembles, legs, arms, everything. Sam's fingers tighten around my shoulders, but I can't stop screaming. I need to warn them. I need to make them understand. We're gonna die! We're gonna die! There's something over there, Shayna says. Sam tosses Woody the phone, and he aims the light over algae-covered bricks and black water. Sam puts a hand on my shoulder and pulls me to his chest. I bite back a scream and breathe deep. He cups the back of my head with one hand, smoothing down my hair. My hysteria cools to a low, flickering panic. I sink into him, watching Woody and Shayna over his shoulder. I know they've found Aya's body when Woody's back goes rigid. He levels his light at something bobbing in the water and releases a strangled, desperate gasp.
Holy shit! He hisses.
He jerks the light away, but not before illuminating Aya's mutilated corpse. A fresh sob tears through me. Sam tightens his grip on my shoulders to keep me from collapsing.
Oh, God.
Sam pulls me to his chest, hugging me so tightly that it feels like my ribs might splinter.
Oh, God,
he says again, his voice shaking. He buries his face in my shoulder. I feel his ragged breath against my neck. Shayna tries to move around Woody. He twists, blocking Aya's body from her view.
Don't,
he warns, his voice barely a whisper.
You don't want to see her.
The muscles in Shayna's back tighten. Get out of my way, Woody, she says, her voice cold. Woody swallows, then moves aside. Shayna freezes. She's facing away from me, so I don't see her expression, but it's like the life drains from her body. Her knees buckle, and her shoulders drop. She falls to her knees, grimy water sloshing around her hips. Shayna! Woody grabs her by the arms and drags her back to her feet. Damn it! Shayna screams. She beats at his chest with her fists, but Woody doesn't let go. Damn it, Aya! What did you do? It wasn't her fault, I say, but my voice is quiet. Shayna's face crumples, and she sinks into Woody's arms. What could have done this? She whispers, but Woody just shakes his head.
I don't know, he says.
The crescent-shaped claw flashes into my head, its serrated edge crusted with blood. I jerk away from Sam. We have to go. Sam's hand freezes on the back of my head.
What?
We have to run. My voice sounds ragged. I imagine that giant claw ripping into my stomach, shredding my skin. We have to go now. I splash across the tunnel. My heart thuds in my chest. I think of the ripples spreading over the surface of the water, the rats suddenly racing into the darkness. A human being couldn't have done that to Aya's body. It was vicious, monstrous. Horror grips my chest. Something's here, I yell. Run! I grab Shayna's hand and drag her down the tunnel with me. She stumbles, and I yank on her arm, pulling her up again. Sam and Woody tear after us. Their panting breath echoes off the walls, and water splashes around our legs. The water rises higher, sloshing up past my knees, and then my thighs. I force my legs forward. Blood pounds at my temples. The light from Woody's cell phone bounces over the walls, illuminating graffiti and mold. But this isn't normal graffiti. There are no words scrawled across the bricks, no messages or gang signs. There are just symbols. Strange, alien symbols. I stare up at them, and my horror sharpens. Pain slices through my leg. One of my shoes slips from my feet. I hesitate. Shayna tightens her fingers around my hand. Hurry, she hisses. I kick off the other shoe and lurch forward, my knee throbbing. Water sprays my chest and neck and seeps through my shirt. The tunnel veers to the left. Woody charges ahead of us, then skids to a stop. He spins around, swearing. Water sloshes at his hips. What was that? He hisses. Don't stop! Shayna drops my hand and pushes the hair back from her forehead. I collapse against the wall next to her, struggling to catch my breath. Sam doubles over, panting. We have to keep going, I say. Woody clutches his cell phone in front of him. The light makes eerie shadows across his pale skin and wide eyes. His wet t-shirt clings to his chest.
I heard something.
He raises a trembling finger and points down the tunnel.
Over there.
We all turn. A perfect sea of oily black stretches behind us. Woody aims the light down the tunnel. Our shadows loom long over the dark water. The sound of our ragged breathing bounces off the walls. There's nothing there, Shayna says.